You know, it's with great honor this morning, we've actually kicked off our Magnificent Seven. And we done this a couple of years ago where we had some people in the house would come and they would give a little bit about their life, their story, a little bit about them to us. And, you know, this morning, there's a man in the house that we love, you know, and he has a great big heart. He has a heart for God. And he's a friend as well, you know. And I would like, please, everybody to stand and to honor this man this morning. And that's Mr. Brian Gray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pass it over, Brian.
That's me 7 minutes up, thanks. I'm sure a lot of you know them in Winch Bar. You've seen me at Nave's wedding. Oh, God. Don't know why God made me like this, to be honest with you. But, along with myself, my people that know me, Brian Gray, my wife Jacqueline, Jackie, her daughter Niamh, my wonderful grandson Elijah, and our son-in-law who's now here, Jason. Well, part of the family here. We praise God for it. I suppose when Louise asked me to do this, and I don't think I thought about it, to be honest with you. But I thought about it all week. And what do you say? I have an unusual testimony. And God, this is terrible. Let's talk about the rivers in your belly. The rivers. But I was probably like most of us. I was reared in the Catholic home. I had two wonderful parents, two elder brothers, three younger sisters. Three of us were altar boys. In them days, the master said in Latin, "You replied to the priest. You didn't know what you were saying. You were taught and memorized it." I knew about a man called Jesus, but I didn't know him. I left school fairly young, and I went to work not far from here. I lived in the Liberties. The Lord has a sense of humor. He has me back in the Liberties. I work in the Liberties now. And I worked for two Jewish brothers. My testimony is to do with the Jews. Forgive me. Really, truly forgive me for this. I had a great time working with them for a number of years, and a huge Jewish community came through the business. I didn't know the relevance of it. In Niamh's college years, she ended up working for one of their brothers in a boutique in town. The two of them are going to be on home now, so I hope they are with the Lord. I don't know that. But I moved on. I got married to Jackie. We had Niamh, and we have a son in Australia, who has a partner, Dutch partner, Suzanne, and we have a granddaughter, Avery, and we hope to see the three of them in September, please God. We've done the usual thing, went to Mass for Christmas, and the odd time you went here and there, and we just went through it, and then Jackie had trouble with her back, and she had operations on that, and she came to know the Lord first. So she went to a church in the city called Victory, and the kids went in, like the Lord is here this morning. The kids went to the Sunday school. I didn't go near the church. So I would have supported the children in the then they went on to school then, and the church opened their own school, and the kids went there, and I would have supported them, even though it was against my grain, but that's where they were. And the worst thing was I had to pay a fee to go. It was even worse. But they went through it. They were happy. And I have to say, God honored them. They done very well. The school got into difficulties, but God honored them with their education. I'd be lying in bed, and of course I was still with the boys. I was doing the drinking and following for my sins, following Liverpool and following Ireland around the world. I was working for myself, and times were good. We had a comfortable lifestyle. I would hear Jackie praying over me in bed. And then she would meet up with two friends of ours, two very good friends, and the three of them would pray and pray and pray. And this is just for people here this morning. It took 11 years before I got to know God. Jackie was saved for 11 years. And Jackie prayed that I would get saved. Viv, her husband died very young, and she prayed that she would remarry. And she remarried in her 60s. The first guy she went out with when they were young. And then the other girl gave up her baby when she was very young. She had a baby for adoption. She looked for reconciliation and that she'd meet a daughter, which God honored the three requests, the three of them did. But then we went on then, and Jackie had the operations, and we moseyed through our life, and then Satan got into the marriage. There was a battle on. We worked through it. We're still working through it. We'll be together in October, 42 years. I just want to say to Jackie that the good memories outweigh the bad. But that's what I want to say. So then I started searching, and I was looking. I met a man called Bill Hybels from Willow Creek Church in America. He touched my heart. He just said something to me, touched my heart. So the move was on. God was moving. Jackie, we got a present to go to Israel off a friend of ours, and she was going. And then I was working, and things were getting... I was doing long hours. I was earning the money. I was doing long hours, but I was getting tired. I was getting older. I was doing long-distance driving, so I decided that I was giving her up. Going home, I got Kenny one Wednesday, and I made a call to the company I was working for. The transport manager wasn't a very nice guy. I said, Brian Gray, I want to give you my notice. He said, when do you want to finish? I said, Friday. And he said, fair enough, and he put the phone down. That was 15 years I was with the company. I rang Jackie to tell her. I couldn't get through. She was on the phone, and with a few of them going to Israel, and one of the girls pulled out because she was afraid of the troubles there. It was back in 2004. So they were looking for someone to take that place. So on the heel of the hunt, I got the place. So I went to Israel on a freebie, and Jackie went on a freebie as well. So when we were in Israel, it was a fantastic, I have to say. It's a fantastic country. It's amazing when you're there. And it just brings to life stuff. So we were seeing all. Usually we're going to the sites. You're seeing them. We were blessed seeing the stuff, and we were just around the old city and in Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, so much the upper room, so much you can say about it all, and it's just amazing. So then we went up to Tiberias, where Jesus of Capernaum, and he spent a sermon on the Mount, where he spent the most of his own ministry up around that area. So they have the Jordan River where the baptisms take place, and there's a site there called the Ardent, and it's like a commercial end of it. You can get baptized in it. There were 750 of us on the trip. It was the biggest undertaking. The Israeli government sponsored some of it because tourism had dropped, and they were trying to get people to go back to the country. So we become celebrities because there was 13 busloads of us. And I always remember, I'll never forget it, the day we were driving into Jerusalem, the old city. And the Jews say, let's go up to Jerusalem because it's up on a hill, even though it's a massive city. But when you're driving up, we were just driving up and we've seen the sun and was going down and 13 buses and just bus driver put this tape on, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, I'll never forget it. But when we were up in the Ardent, don't ask me why, I went in and I got a gown and I was the first one down the steps into the water. And it was like, I was looking in from the outside. A black pastor called Claude from Jamaica was standing there with another pastor, and I said to them, I want to give my life to Jesus. I said, I don't know why, but I do. And he said the prayer. I said it, and then I got dipped there and then. I got baptized. And I come up out of the steps, and I remember saying, I always had a love for the Jews. I'm working with them and knowing them, and growing up, I always had that bond with them. And I asked God to use me and work me for Israel. I'm heavily involved with stuff in Israel today. I keep it going, and we do a lot of myself and Jackie, and I want to thank Jackie and me, Niamh and Jay for standing with me, because it has been tough for us. So we come up, they were all in shock, I think. So we went through the rest of the tour and came home. And I was out of work, and it was during the, as we call our so-called Celtic Tiger years, there was no pressure on me to go back to work. I had a few bob in the bank, and I was living off that. But I was in the house. I couldn't read the Bible. Couldn't open it to read it. And I was in the house one August, and we had been there in May, which is called Pentecost. We had been there for that celebration. And the thing came up on the telly on the Revelation channel, if anyone knows the Christian channels. And they were going back out, and the Feast of Tabernacles is called, in October. And Tabernacles would be like the Jews celebrating our Christmas. It's a magnificent time to go to Israel, is in Feast of Tabernacles. They have all these things. They call them booths, Sukkots. And this, to remember them when they were wandering the desert, they used to live in these, and they'd build them out of leaves and the palm trees and that, and they'd lie in them, and they could watch the stars and what have you at night when they were going to sleep. And they do it for, it's a tree for the kids, and it's a tradition that has still come up, and the cafe shops that have them outside, and the kids sleep in them at night when the parents allow them and all, and you see them on all the verandas of the apartments and outside the hotels and the restaurants. Magnificent. And it's holiday time. They take a week off, and everybody, it's just a big party. And then we have what they call the Christian march, and about anything between 10 to 15,000 march through the streets, Christians carrying all the different countries' banners through Jerusalem, and the Jews just stand on the side of the path, hug you and kiss you, thank you for coming, all that sort of stuff. So I said to Jackie, we have to go back to Israel. I said, I don't know why. I know it's expensive. We'll use the credit card, and we worry about that when we come home. So we went back the second time, and we were up in Nazareth, and we were in a little synagogue, and we were sitting there, and the guy that we had was Moses, and he would read a bit of scripture related to the history of the place. And he walked over to me, and we had our name tags and that sort of stuff, and he walked over to me, and he says, Brian, he says, will you read, he says, from Luke chapter 4. It's actually Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and it's about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I read that. And you might think this is crazy, but that's how I start reading the Bible. So from there then, we worked through it, and it was just an amazing. We just we came home, and we have a prayer group in our home and for Israel. I'm involved with different ministries for Israel. I do work for Israel. And I've been blessed. I've been back 9 times. Jackie's been back 7. Even Jay had been back once. Yeah, please God, he'd be coming back again. And next, when finishing up, and you know, running, hope I haven't bored you here. But just to say to you that, you know, like a lot of people don't understand the Jews, and they don't know what Israel is about. But the Bible was written by Jews. Jesus is a Jew. Yeah, give him his Jewish name, Yeshua. And when Abraham, I just tell people, lots of people get involved with me, I say, stay out of the politics of Israel and the Middle East. Stay in the Word, and you won't go wrong. And God chose a man called Abraham, who became Abraham, one of our forefathers. And he told him to go to the land that I will give you, which is Israel. And you can argue, till the dogs come home with me, but that's in there. It tells you that. He told him, you can look it up in Genesis chapter 12, and he told him, I will bless those that bless you. And he has done that with our family. I honestly can put my hand on my heart and say that. He has blessed us abundantly. And I would ask each one of you in your own prayer time to pray for the Jews, and especially pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And it tells us in the Bible as well to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because that's where Jesus is coming back to. He's not coming back to Dublin or Paris or New York. He can go on the world tour maybe. But when he's coming back, he's coming back to Jerusalem. And Satan knows that. And he'll get in there, and he's doing everything he can to pull it down. And I'm not saying to you that God's chosen people, it's God's chosen nation, that they're any better than us. They're not. Satan is running riot in Israel. I couldn't tell you the stuff that's going on over there. He's just having a ball, and he knows, keep it going, and take Jerusalem down. And the Savior has nowhere to come back to. But that's why I ask you, please ask you to keep them in prayer and to pray for them. And when you get to know Jewish people, just comfort them, because they think everybody's their enemy. They don't know who their friends are, because there's so many people that hate them just for being a Jew. That's all. Nothing else. So I just want to leave you with that. And a few people in the church have asked me about going to Israel and maybe talk to Noel and Sharon, and we look at doing a trip. It's expensive to get there. That's the only thing. But when you get there, it's not that expensive. A lot of your meals and that, trips and all are covered in the cost. And it brings to life your Bible when you read it. You think of something. You say, yeah, it was there. That's great. I've seen that and I love that. So I just ask you, again, just to keep them in prayer. And the Jews, as Neve said it there earlier, Jews have a saying that when they're leaving each other for the time, they say next year in Jerusalem. That's what they say to each other. So maybe for us, it's next year in Jerusalem. Shalom. Thank you.
Brilliant. Amen. Who wants to go to Jerusalem? Well, we say amen. And Brian, you want to start organizing that? People will sign up. But Brian, will you lead us in prayer for Jerusalem? We don't know how to pray. And this is a man that has prayed and has walked and has lived and has given. And so you teach yourself to pray.
Heavenly Father, we give you your Jewish name, Abba. And it's lovely when you go there just to listen to the kids running around the streets calling their own dads Abba. And we have, as Noel will tell us week in and week out here, we have a wonderful Abba, a mighty Abba, a blessed Abba. And Father God, today we lift up Jerusalem to you, Lord. And your word tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And someone pointed out to me a long, long time ago that the peace is Jesus. I've been looking at that, and I see the revelation in it that he is the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, I would ask you, Father God, to put a protection around that city. It's a wonderful city. It's a beautiful city, Lord. And that to keep it safe for our Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, when he does return, Lord, that Jerusalem will be intact and she will be there, Lord. And Father God, we would also ask you, Lord, we pray for the Arab people that live in the city as well. There's a huge amount of them that live there, Lord, that they would come to know Jesus as well, Lord. We would pray for them as well, Lord, as well as the Jews, that they would, when they realize that Jesus was the Messiah all the time, I want to be there to see some of their faces, Lord, and just to put my arm around them, Lord, and comfort them, Lord. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you for this church. Thank you for Noel and Sharon, for the leadership here, and for the wonderful, wonderful congregation and family that we have in this church, Lord. We thank you for it, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray this, Lord. Amen. Lord.
That was amazing. Do you want to just turn around and say hello to someone? Just say, tell them they're very welcome. It's good to see them here today. I think Louise has a little surprise for us, have you? Oh, later. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Naomi says to me when she sat down, she says, we were late getting down, I guess, the worship team. I said, it's all right if you're late, if you're great. And they were great this morning. Amen. Well done. And it's all right to run over time, Brian, if you have something to say, and you had something to say. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so that's for the next 20 minutes. I just felt a word on my heart that the Lord put on my heart yesterday. And God is so good. You know, he gives you opportunities to trust him with his word, and that he wants to break his word open, and he wants to encourage, and he wants to build up, and he wants to strengthen, and he wants to edify, because that's what he does. God doesn't beat you down. God builds you up. He speaks directly to you. He speaks in a manner that a father would if he needed to correct a child, but it's always out of love. Out of love. If anyone speaks to you outside of love, I'm telling you, don't accept. Don't accept. Because God can only deal with you in love. Isn't that brilliant? Comfort, isn't it? Empowering to know that there's nothing I can do that can make him not love me. So free. So liberating. So I want to speak to us this morning. First of all, Father, I give you your word. And I ask that you would break it. I ask that you would anoint me afresh, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your word would go forth, Lord, and accomplish what you want it to accomplish today in each of our hearts. I thank you for every person, Lord. Lord, I love this church. I love this church. I love your people, oh God. I love the people that you've given us to shepherd, Lord. You've given us to pastor, Lord. You've given us to release into their destiny, Lord. We just delight in that, Lord God. We just find great thrill and excitement in what you have in store for each one of us, Lord. No matter what our age, no matter what our background, oh God, I just thank you for your plans and your purposes. In Jesus' name. Amen. The truth of the matter is that the Bible teaches us that God has a plan and God has a purpose for each one of us. No matter what our background, no matter what our start in life or the middle of our life or what life threw at us or what we accepted into our lives, what we've given up our lives, what's been intruded or invaded our lives, and God still has a plan. And the Bible says that he knows the plan, and his goal is that the plan that he knows, that you and I will get to know that plan. And whatever that plan is, when you accept it, you start activating it. The plan could be on the wall for a day or a year, and as long as we leave it there, well, that's where it will be. But when we accept our assignments, and that's the word that the Lord put on my heart yesterday, our assignments, and our assignments can change from year to year. Assignments can change from country to country. But as long as it's his assignment, if he assigns me, we were just talking last night, and honestly, this is my, God knows my heart. When we were serving the kids that breakfast in Clondalkin every day, I said it then, and I still say it. If God says no, I want you to feed those kids. That's all I want you to do the rest of it. I would gladly accept that. So, do you know why? Because it's his assignment. So, not man's assignment, God's assignment. And you could be washing feet. You could be washing the smelliest, stinkiest, ugliest feet in the world. But if it's God's assignment for your life, I want to tell you, you get more joy in doing that than you would doing it if it wasn't God's. You could be painting the nails of the Queen of England. But if it's outside of God's assignment for your life, I want to tell you, you'd be miserable doing it. But when you can be doing anything, if it's in God's plan and purposes. And I want to fill you in just 3 minutes on this, that I accepted an assignment of God on Thursday going into Good Friday morning, so Thursday night. And this assignment is this. There is a building that has been 100 years old in Christian ministry called Carrigeaton and Greystones. And many people know it, have been there, have been blessed by it, and an incredible, and the owners put it up for sale, and you might have heard the story and whatever, and it ended up on Joe Duffy and da 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 da. But anyway, during the middle of that night, the Lord spoke to me and says, Noel, I want you to be involved in saving Carrigeaton. And I accepted it. And from that moment on, the owners were going to put it on the market on Tuesday of Easter week, and I got in touch with them and I told them what I believe God said to me, and they says, no, we're going to take it off the market. We're not going to put it on the market till October, and we're going to give you an opportunity to see what God comes through with 1.7 billion, because that's much to go. How much have I got? Nothing. But God, accepting God's assignment is what's really, really important. And this Thursday, we have our launch in Carrigeden of the campaign. So what we're doing is, we're just putting it out there, and it's up to the Lord. I have no stress. I'm sleeping like a baby. I don't toss and turn about this, because it's not my gig. It's God's gig. But it's part of my assignment is to take it and to run with it and to knock at the doors and to tell people and wherever. But it's up to the Lord to put on people's hearts to give. So this Thursday evening, there is no prayer meeting on in here, but I want to invite you all out to Carrigeden for the lunch. What's the lunch going to look like? We're going to tell you a bit about Carrigeden. We're going to show a video. We're going to ask people to create fundraisers all over the place, because every little bit counts. 1.7 million seems a lot of money, but I want to tell you, every euro counts in that. And not only that, my son-in-law Rob says to me, Noel, what would be a success for you in this? Rob always asks me this question. And obviously the success would be that we buy Carrigeden, because we believe with all of our heart that God still has a need for Carrigeden. And he wants to use it for transformation, transition, and for training. And we want to open up avenues of training for the body of Christ, not just us. It's not even going to be us. We've started a company. A company will own it, and they will have a mandate of transition, transformation, and training. And there's 50 people living there now from all walks of life, and it's just the most amazing place. There's people there that are getting their lives together, that have got their lives together, that need an apartment or a room for a couple of months to move on next in life. There's people that leave there and go into ministry. There's people. It's just the most fantastic little amazing place. And the Lord still has need for it. And you will see videos of it. You'll hear stories about it. You'll see it on Facebook. You'll see it on, and you'll all have an opportunity to give into this. Because this is what I believe God says. He says, no, put aside everything that you need and look after this, and I'll make sure you have it. God told me that he will bless anybody that puts that prayer to it, that coin to it, that prayer to it. He will bless it. And I believe him with all my heart. And that's given me, it's released me to be able to go after this building. So come out. Have a look at the place. We'll pray together. We'll sing songs to God together. You'll hear stories of this building. If this was a building like in any other part of the world, I'm telling you, there'd be pilgrimages going to this building. There's that so many miracles and so many things that's happened through it. So Thursday at 8 o'clock, you want to come out, we'll give you a cup of tea and a biscuit and ask you to give and ask you to fundraise and ask you to do all. There's a train that goes right out from the from Pier Street or something, like the train goes to Greystones. You can ask somebody if they're going and they might give you a lift. And I'm inviting Liberty to say, we want to do what God is doing in this nation. And that's part of the assignment that I accepted. And then we see what God can do. Amen? And I actually believe revival is going to start out of this. I believe something incredible is going to happen. And so I won't say any more than that. But let's talk about assignments. We have to pick up the assignment. Assignment is a piece of work allocated to somebody to do a work. Here's some of the things assignment means. It means a task, a piece of work, a piece of business, a job, a duty, a chore, a labor of love, a function, a commission, a mission, an errand, an engagement, an occupation, undertaking, an exercise, a responsibility, an endeavor, an enterprise, an adventure. So God has an assignment for each one of us, and he wants us to take up that assignment and to run with it. Now, for some of us, that assignment might be, your assignment might be to be a mother or a father, to raise your kids up for a season. Your job might be, or your assignment might be, I need to serve the poor. I need to read. I need to get educated. It could be 100 different things for each one of us. But the important thing is that we take it up. And I want to read out of the life of Hannah and Samuel, if anyone remembers. And Hannah was a woman. I won't go into her story too deep because it's not really about Hannah, it's about Samuel. But she couldn't have a kid, and she cried out to God for a child. And not only could she not have a child, but her husband had another wife, and she was having kids to beat the bands. And not only that, but she was beating down Hannah with, look how much God has blessed me and God has not blessed you. And you can imagine the torment of that. And she went before up in the temple and where the priest Eli was. And listen to what went on. So Hannah went up and says, as she kept on praying to the Lord, keep on. If it's not working, keep on praying. Listen to what it says. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. He was the priest. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not being heard. So she was praying in here, but she was... Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Hannah replied, I'm a woman who was deeply troubled. I've not been drinking. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Keep pouring out your soul to the Lord. Whatever, I'm telling you, you will sing a song one day that sounds like God. It is well. And you don't have to be well to sing that song. When you sing that song, if your soul is not well, you're prophesying, creating your future of wellness. So you don't have to wait to feel well to sing that song from your heart. Can I tell you when that song was written? When a man was on a boat and lost his children to the sea. And he wrote a line, it is well with my soul. It wasn't in the light of everything going amazing. In fact, he'd lost his family. Not, it's that last bit that we sung, it is well with my soul. That's the original of the song. When he wrote it, pour out your soul. Keep pouring out before God. Before God, this is my complaint. This is my need. This is my anguish. This is what I long for. Lord, I'm pouring it out to you. And she kept on. She said to Samuel, I've been pouring my soul out to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I've been praying here out of my great anguish. And Eli says, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. She went away because Samuel blessed her, or Eli blessed her, and says, may God grant whatever you're praying for, and whatever you're pouring your heart, I say over your life, may God grant what you have requested before the king and the God of Israel. And it said she went away merry. She went away not downcast because she had received the blessing of God. It's no good me praying the blessing unless you are receiving it right now as I'm praying it. I was in a place in America called Lambert's, an eating place. Went with Gary and Wilma Davis and myself and Sharon in Missouri, Springfield, Missouri. And I was fascinated by this place because they'd come out of the kitchen and the man came out and he had hot rolls that you just had baked. And if you wanted a roll, no matter where you were in the room, you go, yeah. And your man would go, wah! And you'd catch it. So anyway, I was like, I love this, you know. And eventually Wilma says to me, Noel, you need to stop asking for rolls. And I said, why? And she says, look, I had 16 rolls on the table. I didn't care about eating them. I just loved the fact that your man was down like, yeah. May God grant everything that you request. Catch it. If you need 16 of them, catch them all. Because he grants the request of your heart. And she had a little boy. She had a little boy and she called him Samuel. And it says, when, are these coming up behind me now? No? Who? Sneaking up behind me? So the next scripture, it's 1 Samuel, and it says this is all from 1 Samuel. She had the boy, and when her husband went up with all his family to offer the yearly sacrifice to the Lord and fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live his days before the Lord. She says, I'm going to take this boy, and I'm going to present to God for his assignment in this life. I'm going to give him to work out, to know God, to serve God, to work out the assignment that God has for his life. And she presented Samuel before Eli, and Eli took him in to know the presence of God. And our first assignment is to know God. Our first assignment is to be with God. It's to be, the Bible says that we're all priests. That you have to get that, because if you don't get that, you will always be looking to someone else to go before God for you. So you have to get it that Jesus has made you. There's no such thing in the eyes of God as clergy and laity. Do anyone know that? It means the priest is holy and you're not. It means the priest can go before God, but you can't. Jesus came and done away with laity. And he says, no, you're all clergy. You're all priests. You can all come before me. And Samuel, his first assignment was to be before God, to know God, to serve God, to get to know God through Samuel, through Eli at the beginning. And then one night God says to Samuel, Samuel. God speaks to him. He gets up and goes to Eli, the priest. Are you looking for me? Go back. Again, God says, Samuel. Gets up and goes back again. Eli cops on. God is calling him. God is speaking. He said, Samuel, the next time you hear God, you hear your name being called, say, here I am. Speak when your servant is listening. He learned them how to interact with God. He learned him his own first assignment was to say, here I am, Lord. Speak for your servant is listening. And he goes and he waits on God, and God speaks to him. And you wouldn't believe his first assignment from God was to go and tell Samuel, your sons are running amok and God, I'm going to sort there. That's what God said in Dublin News. Imagine, like, you think of the first assignment might be, Samuel, you're the best man that's ever walked the earth, or Eli. It was a toughie. But he picked it up. And he says, Lord, I'm going to follow you all the day of my life. And whatever assignment you give me, I am going to carry it through. Do you know what it says about Samuel? Not one word that he said fell to the ground. Not one assignment was wasted. Not one assignment got away from him, because he followed God from the beginning and says, here I am, Lord, send me. And listen to what it says. It says in 1 Samuel 2:18 and 19, where Samuel was ministering before the Lord, your first assignment, ministering before the Lord. And he wore a boy, ministering before the Lord, he was a boy wearing a linen ephod, which was a gown. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him, and she went up with her husband to give the yearly sacrifice. Every year she made him a robe. When she was going up to the yearly sacrifice, she would bring this new robe and put it on him. It says here, a little robe. Every year she made him a new robe, a new robe, a new robe. You know why? Because he was growing in his assignment. He was growing up into the things that God wants him to grow up in. And this is a real, real, real important thing. That if God has given you assignment as an assignment, he wants you to grow into that assignment. He wants you not to wear the old clothes or the old robe or the one from last year. Because if he has changed your assignment, get rid of the old robe and move into the new robe that God has for you. If God has said to do something now, don't wait till later. And if God has said to do something later, don't try to do it now. If God has said to do something later, don't you dare try to do it now. Because you're not wearing the right clothes. And if he says the opposite, do the opposite. If not, you will suffocate yourself in a role that you haven't got the equipment for. You will be frustrated. If God says serve here, serve till he says here's a new role. Don't go. You know the lobster. I'm going to spend 10 minutes on it quite quick. The lobster. A lobster has to shed his shell to grow into a bigger shell. And while the lobster is in his hardened shell that we see, inside of that shell there's another soft shell growing and being formed inside of it. And then eventually when that's grown, he sheds. The lobster moves a certain way that releases the outer shell so that he can grow into a newer shell to grow bigger and bigger. But see, if he doesn't shed that shell will become his coffin. That his future is robbed. The future of what that is the function for is absolutely gone because he suffocated himself in wearing something that was supposed to be shed. Now, when some of us have to shed some things because it's suffocating, it's crushing you from the inside. But God is on the other end of it. God is growing you on the inside. God is doing things in your life, healing you of things in your life, challenging things in your life. And this is what's happening to some of us, and this is what needs to happen to some of us. Well, I've seen some of you going, get off me. I'm no longer carrying that. I'm no longer living in a lack of expectation. I'm no longer living in low living. I'm no longer living in black and white dreams. I'm going to go for the full color, HD, 3D assignment that God has given to me. God wants you to pick up your mantle. God wants you to say amen to your mantle. You know what happened to Samuel? Samuel was not only someone else that carried out the assignments of God, but he was someone else that released other people into their assignments of God. God says, I want you to go to Saul. And he brought Saul to Samuel. I want you to go to David. And I want him to be the next king of Israel. And he goes to David's house. And all the brothers are there, seven brothers. We all walked and Samuel was like, he looks like a good lobster. He looks like he has a good mantle. He looks like he has a good role. God says, it's none of it. He says, it's the animal. He says, well, it's the eighth boy. He's out there in the field somewhere. God had given him an assignment of watching sheep. And David grew watching the sheep because a bear and a lion came. And the presence of God came on David and he killed the bear and the lion. God was growing him out there. And then when he came in, God says to Samuel, there's a king inside of him. There's a king inside of him. He was ruddy, small, handsome. Reminds me of myself a little bit. But that's where he was. And Samuel looked at the outside shell, but God says, no, I see what's in the heart. I put something in the heart. I put a king inside of that little kid. I've made him someone that, and he's going to grow into what that someone is. And then Samuel released him into his assignment, and David released a nation into their assignments. You don't know who or what is on the other side of the assignment that you will pick up and grow in. You do not know. You think, I'm just poor me, and God says, no, I have a nation in you. What? Do you know your talent? I just mind sheep. It's not your assignment. It's God's assignment. If you walk it out, he will work it. We get caught up, but how will I ever get there? Just go back to your first assignment. Talk to God. Love the Lord. Serve the Lord wherever you want to be. David's next assignment was a giant that was bringing the people into captivity. Israel's land lost. You know, captivity is 40 years at least, generation. Be brought under slavery. God says, I have another assignment for you. There's a giant that needs to be killed. David gets brought into the field. David says, I'll take him on. The same God that was with me with the bear and the lion is with me now. I'll take him on. See, he's putting on the new tunics. Even leaders, even kings, even the king of Israel, Saul, it's like you're afraid or terrified. Someone who allowed themselves to grow into their tunics. He took that next one off. I'm not that old person anymore. I need a new tunic. I need next year. I'm growing more. I'm growing more. And when everyone's afraid, you're the one that's after being grown. You say, I'll take them on. And the same people, like they did with David, is like, who do you think you are? Who are you? Go on home. David being grown into the stature of his assignment, and he goes, and you know the story, he kills the giant. And not only does he kill the giant, but this is what he does, because there was other assignments. And if you don't do your assignment here, God can't move you to your assignment that's down the road. So if God has said, clean the bathrooms, clean them. If God has said serve in the cafe, if God has said serve in the lighthouse, if God has said start the new ministry, do it. Because he can't get you to there if you haven't learned to trust him here. You can do all you want. You can put your own tunic on. You can create your own ministry. But I want to tell you, you're not grown, or that's not going to be effective unless you go back to the assignment God has given. Because David did it. Samuel did it. And when David went out and he killed Goliath, you know what he done with Goliath? He chopped his head off. Now, that was a big head. I was amazed reading this week in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that the Bible goes this great lens to show us how formidable Goliath was. Like the weight of his armor was heavier than David. It went to great lens to tell you the height of it, the breadth of it, the weight of his armor, the fierceness of his armor that he was carrying. The Bible goes to great lens to show us that this wasn't like this was formidable. This was like something that was beyond David in the natural. And well, it was an assignment from God. And it doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural, because if it's God's assignment, you can expect the supernatural. So it might look big and it might look formidable and it might scare the living daylights out of you. But if it's God's assignment, well, then he will bring in the supernatural. And he cuts his head off. And here's when you hear David's next assignment. He takes the head, right? You can read it. And he walks up to Jerusalem with the head. And Jerusalem wasn't run by the Jewish people or the Israelites. It was run by the Jebusites. And he takes it and he stands outside it. He was saying to Jerusalem, "You're my next assignment. And I'm coming for you." This is a prophetic stance. This is something that is that I have, I'm saying, see, that giant was only a pathway to get to that assignment. And you know, David took Jerusalem, and it was called the City of David, the City of God. And when David took it, you know what he done? His next assignment, he created a worship meeting. 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, read it. He goes and gets the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God that Saul had no regard for and left it somewhere. And David went and got it, and he didn't bring it to Moses' tabernacle that was established in Gibeon. He brought it to Jerusalem. His assignment was, when he took Jerusalem, was to create a worship meeting that lasted 33 years, that went 24/7 hours a day. Here's a prayer meeting for you. And he had 4,000 in the worship team. And they'd strike a drum, and then all the people that were called the thankers, they had hundreds and hundreds of people that just stood there for hours giving thanks to God. And he created in Jerusalem an atmosphere of heaven on earth. It was like in the Old Testament, there was a New Testament expression of worship in the Old Testament. And he created not only 33 years of worship, but created another 40 years for his son Solomon to live in peace. I don't know how many generations is the bitter end of your assignment. And David's assignment looked pretty, not bleak, but it was pretty mundane. Well, in mind the sheep. When he was anointed king by Samuel, you know where he went? Back to mind the sheep. It hadn't looked nothing like kingly. It looked nothing like taking out giants. It looked nothing like going to Jerusalem with giants' head. It looked nothing like going and build a tabernacle of worship for 33 years to set up the temple of Solomon being built. It looked nothing like that. And you might think this is mundane. If it's God's assignment, do it. And if you walk it out, he'll work it out and get you to wherever he needs to be. Well, you need to keep it up today. Can we close our eyes? Can we sing that song again, guys? Let's close our eyes. Some people hear that your assignment is you need to pick back up a prayer mantle. Not like Hannah, or unlike Hannah, you've stopped praying for what you believe in God for. God wants to assign you to pray for your marriage. He wants to assign you today an assignment, a mission, a Then things that have been robbed on you, you're taking it back. When everything was taken on David, he went before God. God said, here's your assignment. Go after them. Take everything back. Pick it up, if it's you. I'm picking up this prayer mantle. I'm picking up this assignment. I'm picking up my servant's mantle. I've not been serving God for a while and expressing it in practical ways. Pick it up today. Don't stay with the old tunic. Don't stay with the old robe. If God is changing it today, take off the old and put on the new. I accept my next assignment, God. If you don't know what it is, just say to him now, agree with me. I'm open for my next assignment. Don't look at all the things that has robbed you from doing it in the first place. Don't look at lack of confidence. Don't look at a lack of know-how. Don't look at a lot of, I haven't got all the information. Don't mind that. Don't let your past say, you can't pick that up. Ignore it. Where you're at today, no matter where you're at, if you're in the filthiest pit, don't let that pit stop you. You pick it up in the midst of that pit. You could be in the depths of sin and you're hearing today and you're like, God wouldn't want me to use me. You pick it up. God looks at you differently than you see yourself. And everyone else is trying to get rid of you, God says, come on with me. When no one else wants to know you, God says, I want to know you. When everyone says you're washed up, God says, I'll wash you up. And set your feet on a rock. And give you a new assignment, a song of praise to God. God has been speaking to people about sharing your testimony. Pick up that assignment. They bring it into the right people that he wants to tell your testimony. Isn't it great? Because every time you follow a God assignment, there's a fruit. Let's stand. I'd even ask you, if there's something in front of you, if you physically just put your hand by your side, if you don't want anyone to see, pick her up. Pick her up. If you're bold enough, put it on you. If it feels big, you're going to grow up into it. Samuel's ma didn't bring a coat the same size as the year before because he'd grown. You'll grow up into it. Don't be afraid of it. We bless you, Lord. Now let's use this song as a song of prophecy over our life. Doesn't matter how unwell you might feel, it is well. You tell your soul. How crazy this seems to sometimes. I look in the mirror and I go, Noli, you're doing all right. Then there's other days I go, Noli, what have you done? No matter which where I'm at, I can say it as well. Because he who holds me in the palm of his hand will make a way. So with your assignment, it is well. We sing this over our future, over our lives. Over our assignments. Go ahead, girls. I know the children are in. Will you hold our hands when we're singing this? Lift them up. Put them in your hands. Sing it over their future. Sing it over their future. Stand with people. look across the room. Someone you want to go and stand with, please do it. Well done, guys. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well. Oh, it is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in Him, believe Him, still know His name. So let it go, my soul, and trust in Him, believe Him, still know His name. My soul, and trust in Him, still love His name. Then we still love His name. And we still love. Come on. Amen. Can I tell you something that David did with that head that time? It was like David, he went with the head, but he took his heart. And he threw it into the future. And it landed in Jerusalem, and he says, Jerusalem, where my heart is, my body will follow. And for some of us who like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get there. Can I ask you this morning, that the assignment that God has on your life, will you take your heart and fling it into the future? And you're saying, I'm going to catch up on you. And I'm going to fulfill the call of God that's on my heart. And I'm going to fulfill every assignment, that it will be said of my life that nothing that God gave them fell to the grounds. And we're singing this song, we're throwing our hearts right up into the future. And he said, it's well with me. It is well with me.
It is well with my soul. It is well.
It is well with my soul.
It is well.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We say in the name of Jesus, spring up a well. Say to your liberty, let the rivers of God flow from out of your innermost being. Let them flow out of you. I send you out of this place as the hands and feet of God, the face and the word of God. I send you out to bring the word of God, to be the word of God, to love on those who God has placed, to shine on your spot. Wherever you find yourself this week, I say shine. Shine brightly. Shine beautifully in the name of Jesus. Pick up your daily assignments. Say to the Father today, say it to Him tomorrow. Father, what's my assignment for today that moves me forward, that moves me towards my bigger assignments or my next assignments in Jesus' name? And be obedient to that one thing and see how God accelerates and activates what He has inside of you.